On music of Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, program number 212 in that continuing series. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2 and 107.7 on the FM dial. We're at 14 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, 68, our current temperature, as Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks wrap up right there with our theme. And we have our guest in studios today. Always excited to have a guest in studio, and we're going to say good morning to Mr. Frank Imholt. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Zai. How are you today?
Excellent. And yourself?
Very fine. And beautiful day out.
Yeah. And you came in from where?
We were up doing a fundraising auction up by Pickerel Lake yesterday, and so we drove in this morning to be here.
Well, awesome. Awesome. And we have you in here as a guest because you had a polka band back in the day, but you've turned into an auctioneer. Who would have thunk, huh? Back in the day, you were going to grow up to be an auctioneer, huh?
I really didn't have quite that dream. I was picturing more the polka padre, but I soon realized you had to wear a white collar, and
it was too tight.
Yeah. I think that was part of it, but I always liked music. Oh, music's been great, and I found out auctioneering's a lot like music. You're up in front of people, and you're entertaining, and if you're having a good time, they have a good
time. Well, let's go back to the beginning. Where were you born and raised, Frank?
I grew up I'm actually on the home farm just west of St. Cloud, out about a mile and a half west of the License Center, so I had the opportunity to end up on the home farm, and we've got about 29 acres in the Sauk River, and it's almost walking distance to Mills Fleet, which is, you know, kind of nice.
Yeah,
I'm close by, and it's great for the kids. We have a ball field, and we talked about that earlier.
I friends with Ron Eichmeyer and the Eichmeyers and all the
neighborhood.
Yeah, the whole neighborhood used to get together Sunday afternoons and have a ball game out there. Trying to think of the other household names. I'm picturing
Under Sanders across the road. Yes, Willards were down the road. We had a neat deal, and we got together and played a lot of ball. And Ronnie used to bring his bass horn over when we were kids. We'd clean out the chicken barn, and we'd have a barn dance. And then the next week, we'd have chickens in the barn again. So, I mean, it was kind of fun.
Oh, that's awesome. So when did you pick up the accordion then?
My uncle actually had an orchestra up in North Dakota, and my younger brother, Paul, plays my grandfather's violin. Mm-hmm. And so my uncle invited me up to help harvest when I was in the sixth grade.
Okay.
And so I came back with $50 in my pocket from working 2 weeks in North Dakota running a combine in the sixth grade, you know. And back then, you could do things like that.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I went to the Weber Music Store, and I bought an accordion for $48, a 12 bass. And that's when I started playing, and it wasn't too long. Paul and I were playing together, and our folks were taking us around, and that was the beginning of it all, and we had a lot of fun all the time.
And you mentioned your folks, they were?
They were intricate part of it.
They
really, my mom played the piano, and my dad would drive the car, and we'd go to International Falls, and we'd play a dance job, and we'd get done about 1:30 in the morning, and we'd get home about 5:30 in the morning, and we'd take turns driving back.
Gosh. And who were your folks?
My folks were Andy and Elaine Imholt.
Andy and Elaine.
And we're on the home farm. And Ma just passed away a year ago, my dad a few years earlier.
Okay.
And absolutely, really, music and family was really important to us.
You came from a good background.
We had a wonderful upbringing. Very blessed.
Yes. And same as my family, too. My mother's still with us, but my dad passed away in 2008.
I remember that.
And, it's really neat when you come from a family setting like that and they, you know, encourage it. That's what's really important for the youngsters. If anybody has youngsters that are interested in music, you want to encourage them because that's how we got our start.
We really only had one rule growing up, other than you were supposed to practice. I mean, if you're taking lessons, you're supposed to practice. But the one rule my dad made, who wasn't a musician, he said, when we ask you to play, you play. I mean, that was just given. If you're taking lessons and we want you to play when relatives come over or whatever, you play some music, you know. And I kind of grew up making a few mistakes when I played music. Yeah. I wasn't quite the perfectionist. And I soon realized, you know, you got to keep the beat going. And it works well when you're dancing. You don't stop and start again. You
right,
know? And,
right.
And I kind of attribute that a little bit to my dad. He says, you know, when we invite you to play music, that's all we ask is you to play. And they never complained about our playing. And of course, I was the oldest, so I kind of got to run the band, which helped a lot. You know?
And did you pick out the music too, as you led
as
the band?
As we did, and we had a lot of fun, and we made we were able to record a couple albums, and we talked about that, and the second one we did 44 years ago already. I really hadn't put a number on it,
but oh my gosh,
it's been a while.
It has. Well, you remember the first job that you guys did?
I actually do. We got.
I'm going to let you talk about that because I got to run over here and grab an advertisement. So you tell us about that.
Okay. It was kind of a neighborhood get-together party, and I remember it was New Year's Eve, and they wanted to have some live music. And so my second cousin, John, played the drums, Johnny Rass here. John, the second, third, or fourth, Jackie's son, and he was their drummer, and then Paul and I. So the three of us went and played in the basement over at the Hengels house, and I remember us getting paid like $4 a piece, and that was really big money back in the day,
exactly,
you know, for playing. And then soon after that, we were playing out at the Club Mesa with Dick
Crackleberg
and the Countrymen, and we were kind of the lead-in. We played the old time, and they played the country, and we had a lot of fun doing that. But those are some of the early jobs.
Sure, yes, sure.
Absolutely.
You bet. Well, that is great. Now, who were some of the other, I mean, was, now, first of all, I should ask you, how many siblings, how many people in your family?
Okay, I'm the oldest of five. And all of my three brothers and my sister all play instruments. We always had about 15, 20 instruments in the house.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a number of different drummers. Finally, my youngest brother, Glenn, ended up being our drummer when he was 11.
Okay.
But we always had, my sister played sax with us, but she didn't like playing dance jobs that much, so I had a number of different saxophone players and ended up with Nancy Rassier playing on the albums, and she loved playing saxophone. I still love it when I get to visit with Nancy.
Yeah, tremendous talent there. The Rassier family had a number of good musicians.
Dan's excellent. I always love it. He's
trumpet
playing,
player.
Yeah, he's playing Bugler's Holiday underneath the bridge when they're doing the Earth Day run.
Really?
It echoes underneath. He loves acoustics.
He's
just an amazing musician.
Yeah. And there was more in that family.
Oh, yes.
Joel Rassier was a drummer. Mike was my age, was a clarinet player.
Sure.
And Rick was another sax player. Played with Nancy and Rick played with the Deutschmeisters. And so, great family.
Bobby and Rita Rassier also believed music was important in the family.
Another
they really
good,
promoted it to their kids.
Yep, that was really neat. You bet. So then, as we move along, then what was the instrumentation in the Black Diamond Band back in those days?
Well, I had heard Florian Chmielewski, and he had a Cordovox back in 1965 when the mall opened. I'm dating myself a little bit.
Yep.
But anyway, I heard that, and I said to my dad, I got to get a Cordovox. That sounds so much better than just an accordion, because I played the accordion. So I got a Cordovox. We had an alto saxophone, and that happened also in my sophomore year in high school, and I had no idea that an alto sax wasn't in the key of C, you know, so I proceeded to learn how to rewrite music and rewrote all our music so that we'd have a saxophone player, and then my brother Paul played guitar and fiddle and then a drummer. So we usually had a quartet. Once in a while, our drummer at the time was Les Nierengarten, and his brother Larry played bass, and he'd sit in, and so we did our first album. We actually had a five-piece. We had a bass player, and that filled it out nicely.
All right. Neat.
Yeah.
So what did you enjoy playing most, Frank? Did you like the polkas or waltzes or
I liked the old time probably the best. My favorite place to play was in Avon. Lakeview Ballroom.
Yes.
My dad always said you should be able to get around the floor 3.5 times.
Oh, okay.
And that was, you know, and you'd just pick out a couple and you'd watch them going around the floor because you knew about how many times you wanted to play the song and you'd watch the people dancing. And
sure.
And a full dance floor was my absolute favorite.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And remember Gus Licky that used to own it? Yeah.
Yes.
Neat
started
people.
With him, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And then Dave
Bergman.
Bergman bought it years to come. Irv Shipler was the last
ended up
one,
the
I think.
Last one,
Yeah,
no, it was absolutely fun.
Yeah, and that was a great place to play. I bet you were in a lot more places though over the years, huh?
There were a few unique places that we got to go to, and we met people all over. And my parents went along with us all the time, and because when we were playing, you couldn't get into a bar being under 21.
Right,
we were really like kids at the time, and I remember we were playing the Wake Park Legion, and the law had changed from 21 to 18, and our drummer at the time ordered a beer the first night, and his parents were there, and she said, well, aren't you going to have a beer? I says, I can't afford to buy a beer, so that, I bought him one beer, and that was the last time. We went back to drinking pop after that.
Yes.
And I never did have that beer playing, but but I St. Anna was another awesome ballroom for dancing, and that's still... People still have fun.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. Yeah, that many years later, it's still there. Yep. Another good one was the Richmond Coliseum.
Yes, the Riverside.
Yep. Riverside Coliseum, and Elmer Niehaus owned it for so many years. Yep. Earl Schmidt had it. Rock and Roll Zumoff had it for a while. There's a number of great owners there, too. And we always considered that home. Of course, Ray Dronnell being from Richmond, and so that was kind of our home turf there. But yeah, some great, great memories of some great ballrooms. Into the Granite City Coliseum ever?
I did, for Cy Socry.
Yeah.
And that was my goal as a young person, was to play the Granite City Coliseum. And
that
was absolutely amazing. I also had a chance to play the Fairgrounds, but I liked the Coliseum much better. But that was really back in the day. That was when George Savacius was playing all the time.
Yes, Deutschmeisters.
And... And I took lessons from Betty Wolf.
Oh, did you?
So I know Tony, or knew Tony and Betty. Just from playing music, it was wonderful. And so I started out with concertina music, playing the accordion, and that was kind of interesting.
Absolutely. So you actually learned accordion lessons from Betty then?
That's who I took accordion lessons from when I learned my old time, yes.
I didn't know that she knew that, too. She taught me concertina lessons, but I didn't know she knew how to teach accordion, so.
Well, maybe I was the exception. maybe she had more patience with me than most people.
It all turned out, so that's great. Yeah. That's very good. Now, your brother Paul still
all the time
professional musician, huh? I mean, he's playing all the time yet.
And he does shows, and he came out and played the barn dance 2 weeks ago. We celebrated a little early, but we had our 40th wedding anniversary barn dance at the farm, and Paul came and played, and it was kind of like old time. A couple of my kids drummed, filled in for Glenn, and Paul is absolutely amazing. He can do all of these songs, and it was wonderful.
Now, have you kept up the accordion like Paul has kept up his?
Not quite as much, as you get older, this memory deal is kind of... everything I ever played, I learned from notes. I mean, I learned it on notes, but then I played it from memory from the notes I learned.
Sure.
And that memory deal, I went to see my mom before she passed away, and I said, last winter was a little hard on my memory. I said, I'm starting to forget stuff. And she was 93 at the time, and she said, don't worry about it. You come by it natural, She was in the memory care unit at the time, but she sure didn't lose her sense of humor.
Oh,
so,
that's
so
great.
So music is just amazing. It works a different part of your brain.
That's right.
And it's locked in there, and when you can't always necessarily count by 2.5 all the way to 10, you can at least play the music.
Well, great. Well, should ask you about your family life. You brought your wife along, and who did you marry?
I married Peggy Parlin Imholt 40 years ago. This coming, in about 3 weeks, 17th of September is actually our anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. And it's been amazing. We have 5 kids, and all 5 of our kids all play a number of instruments.
Neat.
And 4 of them have gone into auctioneering with me. And
They
help us with auctions, and 3 of them specialize in benefit auctions and fundraising, but we get them to come and help every once in a while. So.
All right. Great. Well, Frank, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. It's 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota, and time to read our ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back with you and close out the show, if that's all right.
Perfect.
Alrighty. So, greetings to one and all from the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausage. The brat of the week for this week comes with a story. It is our smoked holiday brat, a nice blend of pork and beef seasoned with salt, pepper, and garlic, smoked in our state-of-the-art Elkhart smokehouses. With the holiday, Labor Day this weekend, how appropriate. Now for the story. Back in the day, my grandpa, Al Funenstein Sr., known to many as Alling, met and married Esther Notch. The Notches, of German-Austrian descent, loved their sausage, and the holiday brat recipe was their favorite. My grandma's sister, Marie Hagen, used to tell me how her dad, Anton Notch, would have Marie sit at the table and dice up the real whole garlic cloves very finely by hand with a knife. It had to be just so. Alling became the butcher for St. Ben's for some 40 years and would make the same holiday sausage for the sisters. They loved it. My dad, Junior Funenstein, grew up working with Grandpa and learned firsthand how to make this fine sausage. In 1968, Dad bought the St. Joe Meat Market and made the same sausage for our customers at Christmas time. It was a special treat for the holiday season. Thus, it was called the Christmas sausage. It was so juicy and flavorful, and people began to request it at other holidays year-round. It just didn't seem right selling Christmas sausage at Easter time or the 4th of July or now Labor Day, so thus the name change. And that is how the holiday brats came to be. Come in this week and get some for yourself. Try them. Take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long, unlimited quantities. Many other store specials await you when you come in to the St. Joe Meat Market, downtown St. Joe. Thank you for your patronage. Frank, for being our guest on the program, and I'm sure you've heard how it works. We put up a nice package at the meat market in St. Joe, and along with Chasm, we hand that over to you, and I have that along for you today.
Oh,
so
thank you.
You can take that along, and I hope you and Peg enjoy that in good health.
Very much so. Thank you so kindly.
Well, that is great. And we were talking about the kids getting into the auctioneering business. So that's the other facet of your life. You became an auctioneer. Black Diamonds Auction Service.
Yes.
Very successful. Tell us a little bit how that all went down.
Well, Peg and I were out to eat one night, and we saw what I thought was our bus driver, and I'd heard he'd become an auctioneer, and that was Barney Kiffmeyer.
Yeah.
And it was Bernie, and he said, yeah, I went to auction school. I said, they have a school for auctioneers? You can actually go to a school? I didn't know that. I thought they were just born that way, and it's family tradition. So I did. That was at Christmas time in March. I went to auction school in 1979. And so this is our 38th year in the business.
Wow.
And we've had a lot of fun. We've provided a great service to Central Minnesota, and we've been very blessed to meet lots of people along the way.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely been great for us. And I knew growing up that even though I grew up on a farm, I just wasn't going to be able to make it buying farmland and farming. And so I found something that was very similar. It's still a family business. My wife runs a clerking trailer and the cashiering, and my kids work the ring, and some of them started running sheets. And then when it became computerized, they said, well, we're out of a job. Well, then we ended up getting a state-approved lunch trailer, and then they really didn't like doing that.
Oh.
So they all wanted to clerk and eventually become auctioneers. So now we've got our daughter went to auction school. She met her future husband at auction school. They were both there. They got married last December. So now with our four kids and my son-in-law, Eric, we have six auctioneers in the family. If I get to count myself, my wife says there's five auctioneers, and I said, "What am I, chopped liver?"
Yeah.
So it is. It's been great for us.
And who are the kids?
Our oldest is Andy.
Uh huh.
And then Katie is married to Eric, and then our middle son Joe, and then our next son is Michael, and then the youngest one graduated from NDSU in mechanical engineering, and he clerks. He's our best clerk we've got, and he could auction. I mean, sure. I've heard him auction already just from hanging around everybody else, but we love to have him come in, and now he is engaged as of this summer, and his girlfriend, or now fiance Kate, is also clerking for us.
Wow.
So we gained like an extra clerk. So that's great on Labor Day when we run three rings. we need a lot
awesome.
Of help.
That's awesome. And yes, you referred to Labor Day. That's the big event coming up, and that's going to be this coming weekend.
Yes,
and that's
is.
A big annual event for you guys
We've been very blessed twice a year on Memorial Day and on Labor Day. We have a big multi-estate auction, and we usually, once we get three estates together, we figure we have enough for an auction. Well, this auction, I counted the other day, we're over 10 estates.
Oh.
We have another 10 to 20 sellers in addition, and sometimes they just have one piece that they bring in. Some of them bring a whole household. So we usually start at 8 in the morning, and we start the second ring at 8:30, and they start out behind the barn at 9. And
Right on your home site.
Yeah, right at the home site. We're a mile and a half west of Mills Fleet out on the Sauk River. And
perfect.
And it just works out well. It's like inviting people over, and we try to make it fun. We have lunch on the grounds. We have portable restrooms. I mean, we want them to come spend the day and enjoy themselves.
Some people go camping or away for the Labor Day or Memorial Day holidays. You guys have an auction, huh?
We do. We invite we invite our friends over, and usually we end up getting a lot of folks to come. So it's really been a blessing for us, and we provide a valuable service to people to sell their stuff, because everyone has stuff.
Absolutely. You know? Well, that's great. And 38 years in the auction business.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It is. And Central Minnesota is really blessed. There's a lot of great family auction businesses in this area. I mean, just like there are a lot of great musicians in the Central Minnesota area. Everyone, I don't know if people just realize how blessed this area is, but it's wonderful.
We had a good one working for us here at Chasm over the years. I'm sure you rubbed elbows with Cliff a little bit over the years.
I did. He's wonderful, as well as his boys, you know.
Yep, Dean.
And then Glenn had passed away,
and
Dean works with a good friend of mine, Joe Persabilla, up from Piers.
Yep.
Joe helped me this spring. We did an auction up in Little Falls for the two-cylinder club, and Joe came, and I just love Joe.
He's just
an amazing guy.
Yeah,
so.
And it's neat, and it's a really a valuable service, because people, you know, have property and things, and when you get to that state of life that you don't need it anymore, it's tough to sell it. And what better way than having an auction, huh?
It certainly works well in our area, and we've been very blessed. We tell people that our specialty is we love selling real estate at auction, because it gives everybody first chance. But we do a lot of what we call precious metals.
Oh.
Everybody else calls them pots and pans, but we like to think of them being gold,
So. There you go. Well, that's great. Well, let's finish up a little bit with the music here, Frank. Talk about the recordings.
Okay.
What made you all of a sudden up and record an album?
Well, we talked about it a little bit, and I met a gentleman that would bring a studio right out, and he brought it right out to the Lakeview Ballroom, and we were able to record there, and he had the equipment in his truck, and we got excited about it. This was back in the day of vinyl, you got to understand.
Yes.
You know, before 8-tracks, before cassettes, and
before,
I'm glad you were able to convert it over,
because
it's absolutely amazing. Over the years, we've had a lot of fun, and toward the end, every night we didn't auction the albums, but we'd sell an album, and then we had enough money for tacos on the way home after the dance shop.
You know, and that was the thing back in the day, and it still works that way today for those bands that are still working. People hear your music, they dance to it, and they want to take some home, and it's really neat. And so, a person would sell an album or two or half a dozen, whatever, and that was extra money. And I know back in the day, most of the bands said that the reason that they recorded an album was because a lot of times when they were going out trying to get more work at another ballroom, they could give that album to the owner, and they would know what you sounded like. And so that was another incentive for doing recordings. So, pretty neat.
It worked well.
Yeah. So
that's kind of a day gone by, though. There aren't very many ballrooms. They're not building them.
No, they're not. And it's just a trend of the times. What can you say? Things have changed.
I'm glad you're doing this show and playing music for folks, because they just tune in and they love it, and that's absolutely great.
Well, that's great. And I understand you're doing a little bit of radio work yourself.
That's my new career. I'm also the voice of the Central Minnesota Farm Show.
Yes, I was going to mention that.
And so, so that's how I, Al Neff from a radio station come up and said, would you like to do a little bit of that? And I said, I love talking, eating and talking are right up at the top of things I like to do.
So. You and I would be first and second in line.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Well, good.
I can see you're having a good time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I never dreamt I'd be doing this, but Kevin Pierscala was the one that hired me and back in the day, and he seen something that nobody else did and said, hey, you'd be good. Come on in. So
there you go. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and so that's how it worked out. Well, congratulations to you on your new career there, besides everything else that you do. And you know what? It keeps you off the street and out of the bars, right?
Well, absolutely. You know? And that's, if I have a shortcoming when it comes to brochure distribution, I can't take them around to the bars because I know too many people. Yeah. And I don't get anything done. So I have to kind of avoid that as well. So I'm
neat.
Absolutely not planning on retiring. I'm planning on keeping at it.
That's right. So was it the same band that recorded both albums? Or
yes.
Yeah, same personnel. So,
yeah, okay. We actually are on our first album. I take that back. Jesse Stump was our saxophone player before Nancy started with us.
Okay.
And she did our first album, and then Nancy started playing saxophone after that.
Okay.
And so other than that, it was Les and Paul and I along with them. So that was great.
Well, we've got Volume 2 along, and we'll be listening to that coming up.
Okay.
And that one, do you remember where that one was recorded then?
That one was recorded at the Moose in Wake Park. The first one was at the Lakeview Ballroom, and the second one we did at the Moose in Wake Park.
Yeah. Ah, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, I think our time is about run out, Frank.
Well, it went so quickly.
Want to take this opportunity to thank you for coming in, and Peg for joining us here. And like I tell each and every guest, the good Lord willing, you and I are both here down the road sometime. We'll do this thing again.
Awesome. I thank you so kindly.
All right. And you have a great afternoon. I know you said you're heading for another auction.
I've got a quilt auction we do at St. Luke's down at Clearwater.
Oh.
We're doing a fundraiser for that church this afternoon.
Perfect. All right. Well, good luck with the auction this afternoon, and we'll see you down the road sometime.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And there he goes, Mr. Frank Imholt, our 212th guest here on a Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Takes us 11 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, 69 our current temperature here in Albany. Don't go away. We'll be back with music by the Black Diamonds Orchestra in just a moment.